This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
We're going to, the chair has chosen to turn the gavel over to the vice chair, Senator Olson, for this morning, so she will take over for at this time.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I will call our meeting to order. And for those that are listening on the Internet, welcome to the Senate Ag Committee. And we have just two things on our docket for today, and we will get to those pretty soon. Are there any guests that we have? No, we don't. How about the pages come up and introduce yourselves and tell a little about yourself?
Hi, my name is Alexandra Hansen. I am from Harding County, and I go to school at Harding County High, and I plan on becoming an English as a second language teacher.
My name is Hannah Grunewald, and I'm from Clark, and I plan on going to Northern State for business management.
Okay, thank you. And I will remind everyone to turn off their cell phones, or it's going to be a costly bill for beef jerky. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Frericks, excused. Peterson.
Here.
Ewing.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
Rampelberg.
Here.
Rush.
Here.
Valley.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Kamak.
Here.
There is a quorum.
Okay, and has everybody read the minutes? And if we're approved of, could I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Those in favor? Oh, it was...
Jensen and Rush, I believe.
Is this okay? The motion to approve is Jensen. Rush seconded, and it's a roll call vote. Oh, I'm sorry. Motion to approve.
Just call for a voice vote.
Voice vote. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Minutes were approved. Okay, I would remind all the testifiers to sign in over there on the podium. Lobbyists must wear their badges, and any handouts that you have, give to the pages and they will distribute them. And any questions for the committee will be addressed through the chair. And there aren't too many changes to today's agenda that I know of. Does anybody have any changes that we need to discuss?
Madam Chairman.
Yes.
I noticed a reference in the committee agenda to Lyle Hutchison from Shannon County, and I think that should be Oglala Lakota, that that legal change has been made and that we should reflect that.
So move. Thank you. We did do that. And I will write that in my book. Okay. The first thing on our agenda is the reappointment to the brand board for Lyle Hutchison from Oglala, Lakota County, from Wounded Knee, South Dakota, and it's a reappointment to the brand board. Is there anybody that wishes to speak?
On. Okay. Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Hunter Roberts with the Governor's Office. I rise in support and encourage you to support the renomination of Lyle Hutchison. She's a good brand board member. She's done a good job. She's currently a Oglala County Commissioner with those roots in near Wounded Knee, where she's lived. Actually, her family and her husband and her ranch about 3 miles from where she grew up. So she's got roots down in that country from a long time ago. She's been instrumental in helping communication with the state brand board down in that area of the state, working with tribal and local county officials. So it's been a nice benefit for the state. So with that, I would encourage you to support the renomination of Lila. Thank you.
Okay, is there anyone else that wishes to speak? Okay, is there anyone that opposes her reappointment? I didn't think so. Okay, the motion to reappoint is advice and consent. And could I get a...
Madam Chair.
I move that we appoint.
Okay.
I would second that motion.
Okay, Senator Jensen made the motion. Senator Kamak seconded. And I believe this is a roll call vote. Okay, the secretary will call the vote.
Senators Frericks, excused. Peterson?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
Eight ayes.
Eight ayes, no nays.
So, no.
Madam Chair, I move that the advice and consent of Lila Hutchinson go to the floor on the consent calendar.
Okay, the motion to put it on the consent calendar was made by Senator Valley and seconded by Senator Rampelberg. And we'll have that's a voice vote. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? It is on consent. You can tell her. Okay, next on the agenda is Senate Bill 3 to revise the income criteria for determining if property is classified as agricultural land for property tax purchases. And do we have anybody that would like to speak on this?
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Larry Tiedemann, District 7, State Senator from Brookings, South Dakota. I bring you Senate Bill 3. It went through the Ag Land Assessment and Implementation and Oversight Advisory Board. We had discussion at a number of different meetings. This changes the, or this bill is adopted. It would change the criteria on the income side. And if I could, Madam Chair, I'd like to go through the bill, identify some of the changes, and then give some of the reasons why this is being brought forth. So in the bill, originally, it had that the land acres had to equal 33 1/3% of your gross income. It would be changed that in three of the previous 5 years, that the income derived from this agricultural land would be at least 10% of the assessed value. And the 3 out of 5 is because we live in South Dakota. We can have floods. We could have droughts that would have an impact on total production. So that's why that is in there at that point. Also, that it has to generate at least $2,500 of gross income. So the income criteria would be changed to that level. If it's a crop share where you're sharing the crop that's produced with the tenant, then it would be included in the total of what would be generated from that particular acreage. Key point in this is that it has to be on bare ground. This does not include the building site. It wouldn't be a small acreage that could have two steers and you could generate that kind of dollars. So it's on bare ground, used for agricultural purposes. The other criteria that's there, because there were three criteria. One, that it has to also be in crop production, timber production, things of that nature, so that it is an ag production situation. The other change that was put in, the earlier version, if you go down to line 11 on the second page, it had contiguous. And there's a trouble with identifying or defining contiguous. In eastern South Dakota, it has to touch. In western South Dakota, if it's within a mile, it's contiguous because it stretches that far. So for the purpose, this is changed to management unit. And the management unit has to be within, if it's a small acreage, has to be within 12 air miles to be included in that management unit. Again, this is a small tweak, but it does make a difference. And I'll share some situations. If you have a 160-acre farm in eastern South Dakota, doesn't compare to the far west, I understand that. But remember, a lot of these homesteads were put out there at 160 acres. So the owner dies, has four children. He divides up the land to the four children. They sell off the homestead. That's 10 acres that's taken out of the 160. And each one has less than 40 acres. Some counties say you have to have a minimum of 40 acres to be considered ag. It's still in corn, soybeans, or wheat. They're not farming it, but they're renting it out. But it's four separate tracts. It now will be taxed as non-ag under the current statute. Even though, because it couldn't meet the criteria of 33% of their gross income, and it didn't meet the criteria of enough acres. And you have to have two of those three in order to be classified as ag land. This will open it up to, as I see it, a goal to keep ag land in ag land. Otherwise, it's a disincentive when they jump your taxes by sixfold to stay in agricultural land. I think that it's a fairly simple solution, that having that other criteria to establish the income, and that it also is crop production, that will enable to meet that goal of keeping things in agriculture production in this state. And that's a goal. Personally, my great-grandfather homesteaded in 1872. Do you know how many people lived in South Dakota in 1872? There were 14,000. He was one of 14,000 in 1872. Bought some of the land from my parents to help them out financially. I bought some land from my brother. One was a 40-acre tract. The other one was 32 and a half. Both of them are in crop production. One is taxed as ag, and one is taxed as non-ag. Just because it's not 40 acres. And I do not want to take it out of production ag, but the incentive there is for me to take it out. So I urge your support of Senate Bill 3 and stand by for any questions.
Okay, thank you. Are there any more proponents of Senate Bill 3? Again, any proponents? Are there any opponents of Senate Bill 3? Any opponents? Okay, we'll close the public testimony and committee discussion or questions right now.
A question for Senator Tiedemann. This includes, you know, I'm just thinking of a half section that I have. I've got farmland on about a third of it and to half, and the other is in CRP of some different kind, and some of mine is pretty old, so I didn't get much per acre on it. It's changed. But is it the entire unit that's looked at, the whole 320 acres? And I would say what I'm getting as what he makes off of it, and then my share, and then you add the CRP, and then you would divide it by the whole 320 acres. Is that how you would determine 10% of what the valuation is at the county level? Or are you going to have people saying, well, I just want to do this part here because this is in cheap CRP and it doesn't qualify, so I want to, but I want to get this in. Could you just speak to that? You can see where people would draw lines. And
okay. Madam Chair, if I may, thank you. Great question. And I think since it's in CRP, it's still considered ag land. And the other growing corn, soybeans, wheat, that would be there. You would meet most of the minimum qualifications. As I did my research and the qualifications on the minimum acres, some of the counties in eastern South Dakota have a minimum of 30 acres. Some have a minimum of 40 acres. So not all counties are doing the same thing. The productivity model was to look at how you can bring things across the county lines, treat typical soils the same way, and so you would be qualified as ag land.
Follow up, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
And was this was part of that study group, and can you discuss a little bit about how you came to these, and was it unanimous, or how did that all work out, if you could? Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I can discuss, yes, we had two different discussion meetings on this particular bill, this particular item. I believe the vote, there was all positive votes from the legislators. There were two negative votes on this particular item, but it did come out of the committee with a positive vote overall.
Thank you.
Senator Rush.
Madam Chairman. Senator, what can you tell me about the tax consequences of this to the local counties?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I don't know the total consequence. I think in visiting with the assessor's office in Brookings, as long as it had bare land in the bill, she was comfortable with it. She didn't want a small acreage out, you know, 2 to 3 acres that generated $2,500 with two steers and five pigs and 10 hens. No, so the bare land sets the criteria there. There would be some decrease. There could be, I don't know the total number, what the impact would be. It would vary by the counties.
Oh, Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have a specific question. I just want to weigh in on this bill, so if I may at this time.
Yes, you may.
Having been a county commissioner and owning ag land for many years, I have huge heartburn with this particular bill. I mean, ag is the backbone of this state and the number one industry that we have. The criteria that's set up right now, where you have to derive 33% of your income off of the property, it has to be for ag production and meet the acreage requirement. And as the good senator said, these acreage requirements are set by each individual county as to what they feel that should be. In our area up there, it's set at 40, and we have folks up there that might only have 5 or 6 acres, and they raise crops, vegetables, different things on it, and they do derive over 33% of their income off of that small acreage, like truck gardening, as well as they're producing a crop. So they qualify for that even on that small acreage. I think the criteria that we've had all these years has worked well. And I also have huge heartburn with this management unit. I'm a firm believer that contiguous is a good component that's contained into law. I do know that up in our country as well, from sitting on the boards of equalization, that we've got some individuals that live right on the county line and have farms and ranches, and they may not have enough acreage, say, in my county, in Lawrence, but they do have contiguous property going into the bordering county, and this entire piece of property collectively has been used for ag, and between the two, they meet the criteria. So I know that these counties will work with people on that. So there's just a lot of variations in different ways that people can meet these requirements. So I would urge everyone to vote against this bill. I realize there's been a lot of work put into it, but this is going to create a lot more problems down the road. As well, as we all know, it is going to eventually affect the tax base in South Dakota. Unfortunately, that's how we get by. Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
May I respond to that with a handout?
Yes.
That I think will help.
The pages will pass it around. Were there other questions while we're waiting? Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator, let me back up, background quickly. For the last 13 years, I've been haying some property that our church acquired, 40 acres. And I've never paid them, not that I'm cheap, but it hasn't generated that much in the way of a hay crop. So based upon the prices, I've never given them more than $1,000 for the hay that's on that property. But because it's 40 acres and it is for, it's all we'd use it for right now, we were taxed as an ag property. And we're quite a ways outside of Rapid City, but nonetheless, we're within the 3-mile limit. And if we weren't ag land, the taxes would be about $12,000. But as ag land, it's about $600. So when we put a $2,500 bogey in there, it really knocks a bunch of land out of the possibility. I've got a friend who runs cattle on some properties, and it's the same kind of thing for his grazing costs. Even though these properties, I think, are more than 40 acres, he doesn't pay them $2,500. So the question really is there a way to mitigate some of that $2,500 floor?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I think a lot of times it's up to the assessor to make that determination. I know that the land owned by the church in the city of Brookings does not pay property tax. They pay a drainage fee in lieu of property tax. I don't know what the situation in your county is, but I know that happens in Brookings that way. Again, this actually would make it closer to the income rather than 33% of the total income that the church would generate. So thank you for speaking for the bill.
Senator Peterson? Yes, Senator Peterson.
Thank you. If I may weigh in a little bit on this, this bill did come out of the Ag Productivity Oversight Task Force, and the criteria is set quite high. When we're talking about land in Brookings County, if you go and look on those scales, you'll see that crop land in Brookings County is going to have assessed valuation of over $2,000 an acre. I think it's going to be around $2,500 an acre. And it's, you know, it says 10% of the assessed value. So there's going to have to be pretty good income derived from those acreage that Senator Tiedemann is talking about in order to qualify under that case. And the question about management unit, that was a discussion we had with the Revenue Department, and I don't know if Mr. Howdyshell wants to talk about if he's comfortable with a management unit. We were under the impression that the Revenue Department was comfortable with that new language of a management unit. This is another case where it's actually ag land that's growing crops, and it's always grown crops. If that land had been in my county, in Dual County, you know, the county commissioners have the ability to designate between 20 and 160 acres to qualify as ag. In Dual County, it's 20 acres. There would have been no problem on that. And we're getting to a place in history now where people are inheriting land, and it's going out to multiple children, and it's getting divided up. And it's still ag land. And if one person accumulates a couple of these pieces, and there happens to be 100 yards between them, it really doesn't seem fair that they should all of a sudden be called commercial property, because it's true ag land growing crops. And we tried to come up with some sort of a solution for that problem, and that's why this bill is brought to you. And I really feel it deserves your serious consideration. Thank you.
Madam Chair, if I yes. could describe the map that yes. I shared with you.
Go ahead.
Okay. This is basically the same farm unit. 40 acres on one side of the road, and that is classified as ag land. It is taxed at ag land. It produces corn, soybeans, alfalfa, wheat. Right across the road to the south is 32.5 acres. And that is classified as non-ag for tax purposes. It's still growing corn, soybeans. God put a creek right through there. So you can't say it's contiguous because it doesn't touch. If it had been moved 200 yards to the north, it would have been contiguous. And as the good senator from Dual County, Watertown, when he indicated that this inheritance issue, I visited with an attorney in Minnehaha County, and he didn't give me the names, but he shared that this is not unique. It's happening a lot, where you have 160 acres sold, multiple family members divided up. It's in cropland, but it's being taxed as non-cropland. So, again, hopefully this kind of demonstrates the answer to the solution. When I went to the assessor's office in Minnehaha County and asked him, he said it was a state problem. When I went to the state and asked them, they said it was a county problem. I said, no, I'm going to try to find a solution to the problem. Thank you.
Senator Ewing?
Senator Tiedemann, are you telling me that due to the fact you've got a road and a creek involved in this property that it's not contiguous? In our country up there, we would consider that contiguous. That's I don't know anybody in their right mind that would well, I've got a creek running through my property, and it's still contiguous in my mind as well as what I'm being taxed for.
Madam Chair.
Would you care to speak to that?
He's helping me with my bill.
Thank you. I would just make a quick comment. We have a major highway running through our contiguous property, and the Grand River runs through it the other way. And it's all considered contiguous up there. But
And Madam Chair, that's why we tried to find another term called management unit, and we had individuals that testified during the summer that identified that same issue, that they could have parcels of land not directly on top of each other touching. And so that's why this new term was used. Thank you.
Okay. Senator Valley?
So you're saying there are instances like this where counties have said that is not contiguous. Is that what we're saying, that you had some of those instances?
Madam Chair, yes, I did.
Thank you.
Madam Chair. Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Another question, Senator. Would you please footstomp how you're defining contiguous within the bill? Please.
Madam Chair, contiguous would be coming out of the bill and would be now called management unit. It's part of the unit. And we took contiguous out because out west, it's contiguous, and in some other counties, they don't call it contiguous. I visited with other assessors, and they said, that's a common sense answer. It should be contiguous. Didn't help solve the problem.
Senator Peterson? Oh, I'm sorry, follow-up?
Well, what's this 12-mile thing?
It's on the second page and goes into, and I think it's no parcel land. It's 20 miles. I was mistaken. It's not 12. And so by air miles, that if you had a unit that was, you know, 20 miles away, that would still be part of the management unit.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, that's what I was looking for, Senator. And, you know, one of the problems in Pennington County was that there were some people down by Winter that had some property out in the hills, and they call it part of their management unit. And this basically comes up with it. But it also then deals with what I think Senator Ewing has been questioning. So even though you have a creek, if it's within 20 miles, am I wrong?
Under this bill, that would be considered part of the unit, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, Senator Peterson, did you have a question?
A statement, if I may.
Go ahead.
One thing you want to keep in mind, that you're not interfering with the county commissioner's ability to set the requirement of how many acres are required to be ag land. If the county is setting 40, that means you have to have, even if it's in a continuous acreage, you have to have enough to come to that standard. If they're at 160, that management unit, if they're within 20 miles, has to add up to that 160. Otherwise, it's not going to be considered ag land. So you're not interfering with the counties. So you're not getting these little parcels where a guy's got 3 acres and he throws 2 calves on it, and then he says, this is ag land. This isn't touching that at all. It's touching actually farm ground that meets the requirement of what the county has. The big change there is instead of an individual parcel, we're having a management unit, and that management unit has to be within so many miles. But it's still up to the county to set the minimum.
Senator Ewing, did you have a question?
One more comment, if I may. Without stepping on anyone's toes and not having a legal background, I certainly think if I lived in a county that where I had a piece of property with a creek running through it and they told me that wasn't contiguous, I think I'd take them to task on that, because as the good senator from the North Country said, up in our, as her statement, neck of the woods, these don't interfere with what we consider contiguous property. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Kamak.
And I think there might be a little bit of misunderstanding here. If you refer to the map that was handed out, he is not saying that the definition of contiguous is defined by that, because that creek is running between the two properties. The creek is running between the two properties, but there's also a distance of land that belong in other ownership between there. If you notice, the two properties don't even corner up, and I think that might be where the confusion's coming in.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
This map was drawn to scale, so it fits the miles and the feet of each one of the parcels. The land directly north, the pasture land, that's owned by somebody else. All of this land was part of the land that was homesteaded. So it was all one farm unit at one time, but sold off by pieces. I did ask the assessor's office. They suggested that buy 8 acres from the neighbor to the north. And I said, but that's pasture land. Why would you mix pasture land in with cropland? The other question I had for them was, how did you come up with an assessed value when it's you are using the productivity model, but you're taxing it as non-ag? I didn't get an answer to that one very well.
Are there any other comments or questions? We'll go to committee action then.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, I move that we pass Senate Bill 3.
Second.
Okay. The motion was made by Senator Jensen, seconded by Senator Peterson, as a do pass. We'll have the secretary. Additional discussion.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Rebel.
Madam Chair. Well, I would like to amend this on line 14 on page 1 I guess it's line 13 and 14, to reduce that to $1,000 of gross income and annually derived. And I realize I'm late to the hunt because we have a motion on the floor already. I think that...
That would have to be in the form of a substitute motion?
I would move Senate Bill 3 with amending line 13 and 14 to strike $2,500 and insert $1,000.
Okay, I will repeat that. In line 13 and 14, strike $2,500 and change it to $1,000 of gross income.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Do we have a second? I guess we don't. Dies for a lack of second.
I tried.
Yeah. Now back to the original motion. Were there any other comments or anything?
Madam Chair.
Oh.
Senator Thank you, Rush. Madam Chair. My concern is without having some firm knowledge about exactly the tax impact on this for the counties, and maybe it's going to be minimal, maybe it's going to be significant. I would have liked to have seen some kind of information. We've talked throughout this session about how much the counties are suffering from the lack of tax revenue, and I hate to see make a change that I don't know the answer to that. So, thank you.
Okay, was there anybody else that had comments? Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I commend the senator for bringing this bill. It's a common sense solution to an equity that is crying out for a fix. And if this was so onerous a bill, I'm surprised that the counties aren't up here protesting it. And two, that Dakota Rural Action, if it was so onerous, wouldn't be up here opposing this. So I would urge your support of this. Thank you.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The question was asked, is there a lot of acreage going to be involved? I think what you have to keep in mind that the intent of this bill was not to try to include all these small acreages where people are trying to just have a few acres and get it classified as ag. This is, you still have to meet the minimum requirement of a county. If that county is 20, or if it's 40, or if it's 160 acres. And this is ag land that's always grown crops, and it's only fair to be assessing it as crop-grown land. We shouldn't, by taxation, be forcing the conversion of land to some other use. If we want to preserve crop-growing land, we should be taxing it the way all other ag land is taxed. So I hope you can vote for the bill. Thank you.
And Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to, the Pennington County commissioners and a group of people in Pennington County have wrestled with this subject for quite some time. And they've had a number of suggestions, and they've spent some time with Senator Peterson's committee trying to work up a reasonable mitigation of some of the issues that are out there. And candidly, when you look at the bill, it doesn't really change very much, except it just really articulates some things that are a little more accurate in how people are looking at property and its uses. I don't look at this as part of the production land and the taxation so much as I look at it as dealing with the separate counties, because right now, as you know, Senator Ewing, Meade County has a 70-acre minimum. Printing County has a 40-acre minimum. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Fall River County has a 160 minimum. I mean, so they're kind of all over the ballpark here, and this is just trying to bring some semblance of order to the process. But, in you know, there are certainly some issues that could be addressed, as I mentioned a little bit ago. But I wanted to just say that a lot of people spent a lot of time on this bill and tried to formulate it in a way that is acceptable. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Valley? Senator Valley? Excuse
me. Thank you. Well, Senate Bill 3, that means it's the third bill that's been introduced in the Senate. So that means that it's been out there for quite a while. And people have had the opportunity to look at it to decide, oh, this is horrendous. I think we better get up there and do something about it. Or and it didn't come from just one person. It came from a group of folks that worked together to find some type of compromise. So there may be some parts of it that we don't particularly think is the greatest in the world, but as we know, a lot of this stuff has to, when it's come out of a committee that's a group that takes a look at this and has experience in it, and then there's not any negative, there wasn't one negative person to testify against it, it gives you some confidence that this is something that we probably should take a positive look at. So by looking at the room who is here and by looking at who's not here and by looking at the fact that no one came to testify it and it was a third bill introduced in the session gives me some confidence that this is probably something that we should at least get moved on in the system. Thank you.
Okay. Senator Rush.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess this is maybe a question directed to Senator Peterson. I felt comfortable with this idea if the county commissioners can set a minimum acre requirement, but then I'm looking at this and it looks to me that minimum acre requirement is only in criteria 3, and if a property, they've got to meet 2 of the 3 criteria, so that if they met criteria 1 and 2, they could, the county wouldn't have any acreage controls over them. Is am I reading that correctly?
Senator Peterson.
Thank you. And before I say something wrong, I think we should get Mr. Howdyshell up here.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Members of the committee, Mike Howdyshell. I'm with the Department of Revenue. I'm the director of the Property Tax Division. And my read of the bill is, like your Senator Rush, that it's essentially an either-or proposition. If you can meet the requirements by the use and the acreage, you're good. Or if you can meet the requirements by the use and the income, you're good to be classified as ag land. So there could be situations where a parcel that is less than whatever the county has established as their acreage limit could get ag classification if they meet that 3 out of 5 years, 10% of assessed value, and a minimum of $2,500 annually derived from agricultural production. That's how I read the bill.
Okay. Thank you.
Does that answer your question?
Yes. Answered my question.
Okay.
Thank you.
Senator Ewing?
I said the last comment was my last, but I have one more. With that being said and clarified, you are removing a fair amount of local control away from these counties.
Senator Kamak?
I am a recovering county commissioner, and we were dealing with these sort of things already in the past. And what we run into is we run into situations, and it's getting more frequent. For instance, if somebody wants to go into the vineyard business, traditionally that's a fairly high value crop on a fairly small parcel of land, and so in Meade County, if they met those two criteria and they didn't meet the acreage criteria, they are still a bona fide agricultural producing entity. So the answer is yes. It does change the equation, but in my mind, I think probably rightfully so if they are truly an agricultural producing entity.
Are there any other questions or discussion? Or shall we go to final action? The motion is made to pass Senate Bill 3, do pass Senate Bill 3, and we will have the Secretary call the roll.
Senators Frerichs, excused. Peterson?
Aye.
Ewing?
No.
Jensen?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
Seven ayes, one nay.
Seven ayes, one nay. Senate Bill 3 has passed and will go to the House floor. Bang. I get to bang it? Yeah. Okay. Now, I'm sorry, I spent too much time in the House. It will go to the Senate floor. Now, is there any other business that we need to transact? Yes, Senator Peterson?
Madam Chair, it's just a little brief letter that I got, not from one of my constituents, but from a farmer in eastern South Dakota, and I would like to put it on record, if I may, if you read it.
You may. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you. Dear Jim, last year my farm completed a 15-year program in the CRP. I decided that because of the decline in wildlife habitat and the suggestions from the Governor's Blue Ribbon Pheasant Habitat Task Force, I decided to see if my land qualified for WRP. The land is marginal for growing crops and has 10 potholes that were plugged for CRP. The native grass mix that was planted 15 years ago was acceptable, so I voluntarily enrolled my 161 acres into the WRP program. I was led to believe my land would be reclassified as grassland for the purpose of tax assessment, or some other provision would be made because I voluntarily enrolled into a habitat conservation program. Last year when I appealed before the county commissioners, the tax assessor told me she had no provision to change the classification or assessment for conservation of wildlife. What can be done to lighten my tax burden on land that for the last 15 years and for the next 30 will not produce crops? It was assessed up to over $2,000 an acre. And this comes from Gordon Lee Ross from Coleman, South Dakota.
Okay, thank you, Senator Peterson. Okay, is there anything else that we need to address? If not, could I have a motion to adjourn?
Moves adjournment.
Second. Senator Rush moves adjournment. Senator Jensen seconds. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? We're done. Everybody leave your binders.